It's time for Know the Enemy Kentucky Edition.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another edition of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy game day. It's a big game day, critical game day for the Tigers. If you want to salvage anything, build any kind of momentum towards the end of the season, today is the day to do it. Auburn takes on the Kentucky Wildcats, traveling to Lexington in a raucous environment of, you know, 50 to 60,000 people. Should be crazy. I caught a lot of heat for mocking that earlier in the year. So Auburn's going to get the chance to face it under the lights. So let's see what happens. Before we dive into what to expect from Kentucky, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. I'm not sure exactly what the spread is. I think it's almost close to a pick'em. It's two or three, one and a half, two and a half, something like that. But you can use that double up deposit bonus by using coupon code next round. Give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back on top of it to play with. A lot of fun, a lot of different ways to bet, teasers, parlays. They got all your favorite stuff if you like doing those. And then you got live betting, first half, second half, all that good stuff. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So like I said, Auburn takes on Kentucky. As you're driving in, hopefully this will give you, if you're driving to Kentucky or driving to Lexington or traveling and you got some time, you want to know a little bit more about what to expect, who we're going to see, who's out, who's in, all that good stuff, then this is the place for you. So let's dive into it. So Kentucky, a lot of expectations this year, a big portal addition at quarterback that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Started off the year hot, goes to take on Southern Miss, blow them out 31-0. This was a game, Auburn and Kentucky, this was a game everybody circled as one of those toss-up games, especially if you're an Auburn fan. And after that game, you're like, man, this team's, you know, Kentucky's pretty good. But then they go to South Carolina, and this is sort of the Jekyll and Hyde of Kentucky. They go to South Carolina, who's not good either, but they get absolutely – they don't go to South Carolina. They play South Carolina at home and get absolutely boat raced, 31-6. And South Carolina at times has been as poor on offense as Kentucky. So then you're like, what kind of team is this? And sure enough, Jekyll and Hyde, the very next week at home versus Georgia, they have a lead against Georgia late into the third quarter. And end up falling at 1 point short, 13-12, holding Georgia to one of their fewest offensive outputs of the season. They dominate the Ohio University 41-6. Then they go on the road to Ole Miss, and you're expecting another blowout. I think they were a big underdog, and they come out with a win, 20-17, hold Ole Miss to one of their lowest offensive outputs of the year. Come back home to Vandy, lose to Vandy, which is, you know, Vandy's in turning up to be a pretty salty team. And then they go to Florida, who struggled on offense. So Kentucky's played great defense all year. They go to Florida and give up 40 points. And Florida struggled 48 points, and Florida struggled on offense. So it's like, which team do you get? And I think it all kind of boils down to, can they control the clock and can they continue to get stops on defense? And because eventually they just kind of lean on you, or you make a mistake and then they'll score a cheap touchdown or kick a field goal. But they want to hold the ball and just sort of see what happens at the end of the game. That if we can get it to the fourth quarter, anything can happen. That sort of seems like their style, and that's sort of sometimes that works, and you can see on the record that sometimes that works, and then sometimes you just turn around and you get blown out. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, that's sort of how their season's gone this year. It's a little bit of good, a lot of bad, and that's just kind of the team that they've become this season. So let's look at the offense. The offense is where they've really, really struggled. I mean, these numbers, you think Auburn's offense is bad. Just wait till you hear some of these numbers. So they're 15th in the conference, almost last in total offense. So when you talk about output yards per game, they're almost dead last in total yards per game. They are dead last in passing offense. Their offense, it's got to be run, and then maybe pop a big play. They're going to be ahead. You know, that's sort of their style. They're almost dead last, or not, they are dead last in passing offense. They're 11th in rushing offense, so sort of middle, a little bit beyond middle of the pack. And there's a key to this that we're going to talk about in just a second that could present them some problems. And they're dead last in scoring offense. So they're last in passing offense, last in scoring offense, next to last in total offense, and 11th in rushing offense. So that's just not a recipe for success as far as offensive goes. Quarterback transfer. There was a lot of hype around Brock Vandegrift. If you remember, he was a five-star kid out of high school, committed to Georgia. Auburn wanted him really bad, didn't work out. And then it seems like every single offseason that the transfer portal existed, Brock Vandegrift was going to transfer to Auburn. I think he had a family member, a very near family member. I don't know if it was a parent or a grandparent that was a big Auburn person, graduated from Auburn. So there was that legacy thing. Everybody thought he would end up coming to Auburn. It just never ended up happening. And then this last portal cycle, when probably could have got him, Auburn obviously stuck with Peyton Thorne and never showed a lot of interest regardless in Brock. And again, he struggled this year. He is just not able to. I don't know if it's so much of him as it is just the surrounding cast. They got a pretty solid running back. They don't really have that explosive big time receiver, and they give up a lot of sacks. They're towards the bottom of the conference, also in sacks allowed, 11th in sacks allowed. So he's just not been able to really get any footing, get anything going. So he's I guess what I'm saying is you're not really going into this game thinking that Brock Vandegrift is going to throw for 300 plus yards and light you up. He's just not that guy. In this system, he's just a game manager. They're going to be fairly balanced, but they're not going to really just beat you through the air. Their leading rusher. Now this is the key. Okay, their leading rusher. Pretty solid running back, and I'm going to butcher this last name because it's tough, but it's Demi Sumo-Karangabe, okay? And I probably totally butchered that, but we'll just call him Demi, okay? Demi's sort of, you know, top 10-ish in rushing in the conference. You know, you got a ton of dudes that get carries, but he's their feature back. He's 215 pounds, big guy, pounder. He'll hit you and hit you and hit you and then maybe pop one every so often. He's out for this game. So their guy that they lean on as far as carries go is out for this game. That's going to be something definitely to watch because the guy that they have backing him up is a solid dude, but he's a different type of running back. So you know how you have your big back and you have your smaller back that sort of change of pace. Well, Jamarian Wilcox is that guy for them. He's, you know, under 200 pounds, redshirt freshman, but he's more of your change of pace type back, whereas Demi's going to be the sledgehammer and punch you in the face. So you're going to have to go to Jamarian, and I assume some other backs as well, but Jamarian's probably going to be the one that gets the key amount of carries in this game. So can Kentucky establish that physical running game with a little bit smaller back. That'll be very, very interesting to see, because Auburn typically plays fairly good against the run. So that's going to be, again, I mentioned it earlier, 11 sacks allowed. That's 11th in sacks allowed. I think they've given up 17 sacks. And Auburn, you know, has started to kind of really ratchet up the pressure. You saw last game, I think they had 5 total sacks, creeping up in the conference on sack numbers. So that could be something that could really be a benefit to Auburn. Can they get pressure on Brock when he does have to throw the ball and force him into making some mistakes? So offense is something that's going to be, I would say, advantage Auburn here, offense versus defense. So that's going to be something definitely to watch. Let's switch over to the defense, okay? Because the defense is where they make their money. The defense is where they make things happen. This is what keeps them in games, okay? Listen to these stats, okay? As bad as those offensive stats were, listen to these defensive stats. 4th in total defense, and you've played Georgia and Ole Miss. You've played some offenses that can score points. Okay. 4th in total defense, 3rd in passing defense, which is interesting. And 5th in rushing defense, 8th in scoring defense. So they're all really towards the tops of the conference in almost every single defensive category. They're very, very good at defending the pass. Very, very good at defending the pass. And it's pretty unique to see a team that's better defending the pass than they are defending the run. But this is Kentucky. They would almost rather you throw the ball, which is going to be interesting to see, because in Auburn's offense, the way the RPO and the way things work is Kentucky could almost force Auburn into throwing the ball by showing more guys in the box. They could bring more guys in the box to sort of force that RPO to the pass. And that may be what they want to do. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch. How does Auburn game plan for that if Kentucky is sort of not baiting, but Kentucky says, we'd rather you throw the ball. We'd rather you throw the ball, so we're going to show you the box numbers that would make you, when you have to go through your decision-making process, that we put you in a run scenario. Even if that makes us more liable in the back end, we feel good enough about our pass defense that we can handle it. So this could be a big time. This could be a big time coming out game for these Auburn receivers. I think they're going to get a lot of opportunities, a lot of one-on-one looks because of that. So that's going to be, even though they're a really good passing defense, I'm going to be interested to see that matchup. They got torched against Florida. DJ Lagway lit them up through the air, so they're reeling a little bit. Can Auburn take advantage? I think that's going to be something definitely to watch. They're not a big pressure team. They don't have a ton of sacks. They're towards the back of the conference in the sacks. They're middle of the road in interceptions, but I think they're a little bit better in as far as passes defended. So they don't necessarily pick them off a ton, but they're just they bat them down. They defend them really well. They make catches contested very, very tough. So they're just salty all the way around. So who are the players to watch? To me, their defense runs through their two linebackers. Their two inside linebackers who are seniors. They're their leaders. Okay, you got De'Aaron Jackson and Jason Dumas Johnson. If I'm not mistaken, Jason Dumas Johnson is a UGA transfer. If you remember, I think Auburn wanted him actually pretty badly. And for whatever reason, he ended up at Kentucky this past portal season. He enrolled in January. So those two guys, they're top towards the tops of tackles. They're right there in the middle. They play every single snap. Those are the guys that kind of they're the heart and soul of that defense. So those two are definitely going to be ones. Those are key players to watch. Another guy to watch, and I only say this because of that new availability chart that they release. Deion Walker. He is a monster defensive tackle, 6'6", 345. Okay. He was listed earlier in the week as probable. Okay. I think he's been dinged up a little bit. Listed as probable. It was downgraded on the final availability report to questionable. So how available is Deion Walker? When you're talking about a team that wants to sort of dare you to pass the ball because we got a really strong run defense. And if they can show you that it's going to be tough to run on them and force you to pass, Deion Walker's big as far as that whole mindset goes. Like he, not only literally, but figuratively as well. He's big in that whole run-stopping operation. So how effective is he going to be if he is injured, dinged up? I'm sure, obviously, adrenaline and everything will get you going, but to be downgraded from probable to questionable is pretty serious. So I assume it's probably going to be more around a game time type decision. So we'll see how that goes. But bottom line, they're a pretty dang gum salty defense. They're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to make plays on the road under the lights to be able to win this game. That's the key matchup. Auburn's offense versus their defense, because I think Auburn's defense can handle their offense. I would say advantage Auburn defense in that matchup. But this defense, their defense versus offense, I'm very, very curious to see how that matchup plays out. So Auburn, typically the yards have been there. The explosive plays have been there. The yards per play has been there. You just haven't been able to protect the ball or take advantage in crucial situations, whether that be in the red zone, in the kicking game, scoring touchdowns, almost sort of towards the bottom of the conference in scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Some of that's because they score from further away, but still, when you get opportunities to get to the red zone, Auburn doesn't necessarily take advantage of them as well as they should. You heard Hugh last week say that Alex McPherson would be taking over the shorter yardage kicking. So when you do get in that red zone, you got, in theory, should he, you know, feel good and not have any flare ups, he should be the guy that's kicking in the red zone. So you feel a lot better about that if you can get to the red zone. And then Towns would obviously take anything, you know, deeper as well as kickoff opportunity. So it's going to be a fun game. It's big, man. This is next week against Vandy is shaping up to be a massive recruiting weekend. You're talking a lot of your commits are coming. It's been a month since you've had a home game. So all of your, as many commits as possible are coming. Some 2026 guys, the number one player in the 2026 class, is going to be there, plays at the same high school as Blake Woodby and Bryce Diaz. And then you've heard talk of, you know, Justice Terry, another five-star defensive tackle that you're really pushing hard for. That's a, you know, everybody's perceived to be a heavy Georgia lean. If you can win this game, go into that Vandy game with a little bit of momentum and win that one in front of all those recruits, I think you can show, especially with all the young guys playing, you can really show that, hey, we've got some positive momentum. We're still rebuilding, but look at all these young faces that are making plays, and you can come be a part of it. That's why this game's so important. This is, you know, people act like that, you know, the season's trashed. And as far as like championship aspirations and all that good stuff, you're right. Okay. The season's gone, but there's still a ton to play for as far as building this thing for the future. And I hope that that starts today. So I feel like it's really hard to know which Auburn team will show up, especially on offense, but it feels like you got to get out there and just coach and let it rip. And this is a good game to do it against. Just get out there, no fear, rip it up and down the field, give it to your playmakers. And then, you know, obviously pound Jarquez when the situation requires it. And don't turn the ball over, and you probably got a good chance of winning this game. This is not a great Kentucky team. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So if you can't win this one, you're in very bad shape for the rest of the year. So this is a game. This could be a little turning point to build some momentum heading towards the end of the season. I would say before this game that all the rest of the games are winnable. If you lose this one, that definitely changes that mindset big time. So let's get positive. Let's pull these guys through and let's see what happens this evening. It's going to be a late game, so we're probably not going to be a live show, but we will have a reaction show drop Sunday morning. And then obviously we're going to be live Sunday night, the show driven by you guys, 100% driven by you guys. And excuse me, let you guys, hopefully we're celebrating and not a therapy session again. But regardless, we're going to have fun no matter what. So I appreciate you guys listening. I hope y'all enjoy the game. Hope you enjoy the day. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be here every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.